On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk.
Week 17 last year was kind of a similar situation in that there wasn't a playoff game to play for. But this year, is how different is it that the Eagles have something and maybe you're trying to play that spoiler role?
Shouldn't be that different. We should be trying to play our best game, period. You know, I think some of these young guys get an opportunity to play is a great experience for them, and they're going to want to try to compete and play their best possible game. Some of the veteran guys, for sure, same way. Got a lot of character, a lot of class on this team, and I expect them to come out and compete. Last year, the Giants, you know, it was 18 below zero, it felt like. So a lot of people were a little stiff in that game. This year, I expect to have some good weather and a home game, and it should be fun for these guys.
What up, everybody? JB Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. And this is a big one. This is the final Redskins Talk Podcast of the season from practice.
That was scary.
Of the regular season, yeah. Maybe it's the last one ever. Who the hell knows?
Oh, no.
But it's the last one of the regular season. It is Friday. We're going to do it all. Over-unders, how the game unfolds, brought to you by Rich Taylor's Lazy Boy. John Kime has joined us. John, what's up, dude?
What up?
Mitch and Peter here. We're in Mitch's car. Gentlemen.
What's going on, buddy?
John, your leather jacket's looking especially fresh today.
I kind of feel like I look fresh all the time.
That's true.
Of course you
do.
Want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia.
That could have taken a bad turn.
Sure. Things can almost
take a bad turn with Oarsman Automotive of Virginia.
That's right. Well done, Mitchell. We're going to put Kime on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
We are having an event January 17th in Arlington. It's a Thursday night at William Jeffries Tavern.
Where is that?
Columbia Pike, Arlington, Virginia. Really cool spot. Kime, your food and beverage is on me if you care to join us.
Is that near Berryville?
It's in the same state.
As close as we get.
I will make every attempt.
Okay.
I think
it's
there's a
Thursday
shot.
Night.
Yeah.
And it's before the Senior Bowl, so we're all still kind of in town-ish.
I think that's before the new HGTV shows come on, too.
Right, yeah, so the new season of Flip or Flop doesn't drop till after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Ohio State-Illinois basketball is the day after, so you won't miss any of that.
It's the day before.
Oh, sorry, I got my day.
I'm going to try.
So what we're doing is we're not doing a party like we've done in the past. This is going to be a live Q&A podcast where we're going to set up like a stage and mics.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And listeners, you don't necessarily have to sign up for all of this. We're going to do live Q&A pod, William Jeffries Tavern, half hour podcast. Any questions that get asked, we will answer. It'll be fun. Then there's a 15 minute one question for each of us off the record, no recording devices allowed, that we're going to answer too. So you don't have to sign up for all of that.
You can come ask
questions.
You're
in for the first part. Be there for the second part. It'll be fun.
I'll be there. I'll get there.
Cool.
I'll remind you. I'll probably talk to you between now and January 17th. Call it a hunch.
Yeah.
All right, boys. It's there's a football game to be played. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on, but there's still a football game to be played. I like Jay Gruden had a response about resting guys and sitting guys. He's like,
this isn't a preseason game. We're trying to look at players for a 53-man roster. We're trying to win the game. So we're going to put our best players out there and let them play.
I think it's the right attitude. I don't know that the players will come out and play that way because the same thing happened last year, week 17 in New York, and nobody gave a shit about the game. And the defense played bad. Kirk was terrible. It was one of the worst games I've ever covered.
There was one goal that day. get back in time for midnight.
Right.
That was it. And that's, you, and be warm.
And don't tackle Orleans Darkwa. That was right, another that was, goal.
Well, at first, his after his
it
first
was a 75-yard touchdown.
That game was over. Right. The minute he took, minute he broke, hit the 50-yard line.
Anthony Lanier was the only guy chasing him down. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
The D-lineman, Anthony Lanier, was the only guy downfield chasing him.
Which was worse, that one or 2015?
Oh, 2015.
Or 14.
2016.
2016 was
2016
the
was 15. Worse.
No. No, 2016 was a winning in, and Kirk threw.
No,
the pick.
I'm saying 2014 when Kirk threw 65 passes.
Oh, that was 2013.
That was Shanahan. That was Shanahan making a point. That one.
That was the one. That was the single worst football game that I've ever had to cover.
Well, you think also, that was worse than last year?
Last year, no one gave a shit. Both teams ran the ball and got the F out of there.
True.
We had to sit there and watch and Kirk good throw 60.
And
jeez, damn, it's getting hot. Show you got to clean that up.
Yeah.
And you knew that there was going to be a coach's firing the next day.
Right.
So at least, you know, yeah.
And it was 32 degrees and rainy and miserable in New York.
People don't know what we went through after that game last year trying
that
to catch
wild.
An Uber.
The Uber, how cold it was. The train ride, all of that was
the
wild.
The train ride was fun.
It was the Uber ride
Uber
was kind
ride
of fun in
yeah.
hindsight.
Yes,
that was wild.
But it was
maybe that's a story for the Off the Record podcast. What happened in that Uber ride? You brought something up there that I want to get to, and we did this a couple weeks ago. But the situation has changed. It seems like these situations always change. This could be Jay Gruden's last game. I think we'd be naive to say there's zero chance of that. I believe Jay Gruden is back. I am going to say I believe it about. I'm about 80-85% of the way that he's back. And I want to go around the room with that. And then I want to do the same thing with Bruce Allen. So, go ahead, Pete.
Jay, I have at 75%, a nice even 3 out of 4. I don't think that percentage will change too much based on what happens on Sunday unless it's a total abject disaster.
If it's 40-0 like it was to the Giants.
Yeah, I think that could affect it a little, but I don't think a win makes him that much safer. I don't think a loss makes him that much unsafer. So 75% for me.
Mitchell?
I think Jay is... I guess I would say about 80%. I think he's really 90%, but I think there's a decent chance that this Sunday gets ugly, and that number drops significantly if this Sunday gets ugly. So I'll stick at 80% right now with the option to go lower.
I'm going 85-90 because I think that barring a... I don't even know what it would take Sunday to get off that number because you're going into this game trying to beat a good team with Josh Johnson... Michael Floyd, Jehu Chess on a receiver. That's not a recipe to go out there and hang a W out here,
yeah.
or even not, or to even prevent yourself from looking bad. And, you know, I think Josh Johnson's been a nice story. He's not working with a ton of stuff out there. So
right.
you won't have Vernon Davis, most likely. You're already going to be without Jordan Reed. So who are you throwing to a tight end? I mean, so I think that's why I say I think if this were a healthy team and they go out and get embarrassed like that, then I think we're looking at something different. I just think it would be hard to get me off that number, short of some other scandal breaking out. But, I mean, what's gonna be different this
right.
time?
What else can there be? I agree. And I think we're all in agreement that I believe that Jay should be back. I've said that on multiple platforms, and I think especially if the current power structure's back, I think you bring Gruden back.
I agree. I think Jay should be back.
I don't necessarily think he should be back. But I also like your point that under the current power structure, he might be the best fit. But I don't think he should be back.
You think he should be, John?
I think you can make the case that he deserves to come back just because of the injuries. I do think that if after 5 years, you'd like to see, is it just the injuries? I think that's the
right.
one thing you have to know, or you have to ask yourself, is it just the injuries? Now, you can make the case that the way this team was built, they were built to play a certain style that fit Alex Smith well and the offensive line well. So when you lose Alex Smith and Brandon Scherff, I think that's a big, big loss. But, was it just that? Were they going to go beyond that? But so I can say this. I don't mind them bringing him back given the situation. I don't think it's
to that point. I've long contended that I think Gruden has stabilized the football product of this organization in a way that Gibbs couldn't, Shanahan couldn't. But the question of if he's maximized the talent or is maximizing what they can do remains.
Well, to John's point, do you think that Jay came into the season thinking that this was the formula that this team was going to run? run the ball?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, dude, he talked about it a lot.
I talked to him about that. Yeah, I remember even asking him in training camp about, you know, could this be an explosive offense? Because at that point, you're looking at a different sort of lineup.
Right.
We're wondering about that, right? So he said, yes, but not in the way you're talking about it. He goes, my vision would be imposing your will on the defense, controlling the clock, and scoring. It could be scoring 20 points a game. That's exactly the formula they were using when they got to 6-3.
Yeah,
so yes, I did think that they would go that way, and that's why when they lost Geis, I felt like that was a huge blow.
And Peterson has just totally bailed them out.
Right.
It's been remarkable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, this season without AP is ugly.
Right.
One prevailing thing about Jay that I kind of want to push back on is he should be back because you don't know, it could always get worse. You don't know what this next coach will be, but it could also get better. And I don't know if you go through life just saying, oh, we can just keep bouncing back between 7-9 and 8-8 and 7-9 and 9-7. We'll just kind of hang here because it could be worse and we don't want to take that risk. But I think at a certain point, you have to take a risk because you could find a guy who's 11-5 quality.
That's what JP told me about keeping you on this podcast.
Well, I'm like, yeah, I'm like 4-12 quality. But
we never know when you're going to pop, Pete.
Right.
One of these days is
right.
going to be your year.
I just don't think that's a correct thing to justify keeping Jay is, hey, it could get worse.
Well, I think the other hard part is along those lines is I agree with that in sentiment. The hard part for me is when you look at this job, how attractive would this job be? You're coming off this year. Right now, you only have like approximately $25 million in cap space now after they cut DJ. And then you don't know who your quarterback's going to be. I mean, I don't, you know, we can get into Alex Smith. I don't know if you'll play on that, but like,
I don't think Alex Smith is playing in 2019.
I don't think so either. And so, you know, now that remains to be seen, but that's the mindset you're going in there with, and you're picking in the middle of the first round. Who's going to be your quarterback? So I think you add all that stuff up, it's like it's not the most attractive job. And I do think Jay has brought a lot here that has been good enough that where you can say, okay, yeah, let's keep it going to see. I think there are some things that you can look and say, maybe he needs a stronger bad cop somewhere,
yeah.
Whether it's in the front office or on the staff somewhere to offset, you know, and to make sure certain things don't keep happening. The Zach Brown stuff, you know, Zach Brown saying stuff, you know, DJ popping off, all that. Clearly there was an issue there. I think whether it's, again, the front office or, you know, another coach or something, some Greg Williams badass type that does that, that can handle that role, I think that would help.
Who's the bad cop of this podcast? Mitch?
I'm going to go Mitch.
But he's also so positive all the time.
But I think it's more. But I don't even think it's not like. I think with Mitch, it's a look.
Yeah.
You know?
Mitch has a look.
Well,
I've gotten a look.
Oh, God. It's a scary look. Many don't survive when you see the look.
Pete
we're lucky to be
Pete
alive.
Got a punch. Pete got a punch.
He did. I can be grumpy, but I don't think I'm a bad cop.
Yeah, you're not a bad cop. You're grumpy, though.
I don't know that I'm a good cop either.
You're the grumpy cop who eats donuts and like it's like, oh, get the hell out of here.
I think that's actually pretty accurate.
Like,
I don't give a shit.
By the way, we all eat donuts. Like, what are we talking about here?
Except Keim. Keim is a Dorian Gray, as Rick Snyder calls
him. That's why that leather jacket looks so good on him.
It's very svelte.
So I have thought for a while.
I do have a story about an eclair if you want to go back.
We need to go back and revisit the Grand Canyon predictions, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are very bad.
Paul Richardson 1,000-yard seasons. And
no.
I remember hitting on all mine. Why do you?
The Preston Smith one, we all took a bath.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the? It was like
I think it was like seven sacks. And we're all way
God.
Over. Are you crazy?
I thought that was a layup.
The only one that I gave AP a 33% chance of going for 1,000 yards, and you two were...
I went over the total, though.
Right, but when when they first signed AP,
right.
we did a pod talking about percentage chance, and I think Pete was like 7, and you were like 12 or 15.
Well, if one of our listeners wants to re-rack that and tell us what the numbers were, I'd be interested. For a while, I would think Bruce was 100% coming back. I'm dipping it to 95%. I just think things are chaotic, and I'm telling you this hashtag... is out of control.
It is out of control.
Oh, my God.
Like, people, I need everybody to hear this on Twitter. I can't do anything. So you don't need to send me the hashtag. I'm at 95%. Anybody going lower than that?
Nope.
98.
Yeah.
So no.
I think it's under the you never know.
Right.
And listen, I think if to me, if you're doing something with Jay, then you have to do the whole thing. If you're running the correct operation.
Right.
That's a caveat there.
Right. Just running
but,
an operation.
But, you know, so I would stay with where JP's at on this one, but you never know.
I think 95 is a good number. To JP's point, the hashtag thing is wild in that we see it on all the posts and everything. Let's be clear that that's not changing anybody's mind about.
Man, I don't know. But we live in a crazy world.
Every Facebook live, live in a crazy every tweet, world. Every Instagram post, everything.
And then I think what they'll do is they'll see those tweets and they go look at the ledger and see what this franchise is worth and say, well, I think we're okay.
Yeah, that's
and
then true.
Listen, the fans, when they can speak loudly, it's when you're not going to games
and not buying jerseys
and everything like that. And I think next year will be interesting because they're going to obviously clearly change their strategy with the tickets next year. Ugh. And will they go back to selling them on the cheap? And then what happens then? Yeah. If you still have people staying away, that's going to speak volumes.
You're going to find out whether selling $5 tickets and being able to say that you have 60,000 people in the stadium every game, is that better than selling your full price tickets and having fewer.
And I will say this too, like what you still see on the road is the support that has always been there. I mean, I felt
there are still true diehards.
Last week in Tennessee and Jacksonville was incredible. I mean, it looked like what we see at FedEx.
Right.
And you saw empty seats up there too. I mean, this was for a team that.
I think there is a bigger sports attendance issue that is across all leagues everywhere. But I don't think that is what is impacting the Skins.
No.
I think there's more
forces. I think that's a part of it. But there's when you're talking about an iconic franchise that took a dip like that, there's multiple factors.
Yep.
And that's one of them. And I remember saying something to Brian LaFamina before the game about that. And he looked actually quite forlorn.
The forlornness is wild. Here's all – and John, disagree with me if you want. And Mitch, too. And hell, Pete as well.
Awesome.
Like, I talk to a lot of people inside that building about a lot of different things. And generally, you know which way the wind is blowing and what decisions are likely to come down. I feel like next week, there is really only one person that is going to make all the decisions, and that person isn't 100% clear what he's going to do yet. I don't know that Dan is locked in on – and I don't speak with him. I want to be clear on that. But, I don't know what's going to happen.
I have good guesses.
I think that these guys are staying.
Yeah.
I think
would say this. There's a reason why you or myself have not written a flat-out report saying that he is staying.
Right.
It's more like these are educated guesses.
Right.
And those can be wrong. We've seen those be wrong. I think a lot of people in this situation would be incorrect.
To JP's point, when there are sweeping changes above the level of coordinator or head coach even, you feel that change is coming, right?
Like, correct. Especially
here. You kind of start hearing whispers of, you know, what X, Y, and Z is going to do. And I guess I agree with JP. I don't really feel that right now, which is why we're giving such high percentages that Bruce and Jay are coming back.
I mean, you hear, like, little things that I think. But I haven't heard anything like I've covered every firing under Dan Snyder. There's always a lot of smoke.
Right.
Always a lot of smoke leading into that, and there hasn't been any. And I think part of it is because I think if they had been an outright disaster, even after the Giants game, like if they had gone down to Jacksonville and got skunked and get skunked at Tennessee, but Tennessee I felt like was one of their best games, and just given what they're trotting out there. I mean, you have to be realistic about what they have, and so I think there just hasn't been that smoke.
Dude, I said this to I talked with Doc this morning. Tennessee's like the first loss, and maybe the Houston game when Alex got hurt and Colt came back and they took the lead, kind of battled back. There's not a lot of losses that you can be proud of this season.
I said that too.
The Titans game was one of them.
Yeah, you wonder if Jay maximizes talent. I feel like he maximized it on that day. But on the big firings, it just unpredictability has been a theme this year with surprise signings, surprise cuts, surprise everything. So one more big surprise next week. wouldn't shock.
Nothing would shock me.
Nothing. Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the factor, we go back to the whole fan issue, and not that you don't do everything to placate fans, but my God, they got to sell tickets somehow.
Right.
And where are you going to sell? You sell tickets based on, anymore, you're selling it based on some hope. And where is the hope right now for fans to buy into? That's not, here's the other thing. They're going to latch on to the fact that they were a 6-3 team, lost their quarterback, and at that point you're thinking they could be a 10-win team. I think they're going to latch onto that. You get some guys healthy, you do this and that, we can get back to where we are. That's going to be their thinking. But, you know, from a fan standpoint, you need that hope, and I don't know that they're going to latch on to
the same way. I mean, hope comes with quarterbacks and coaches, man.
Exactly. Absolutely.
We also haven't talked about the stadium at all as far as Bruce is concerned, and if they are going to get rid of Bruce, they got to get somebody in there mighty quickly who has connections.
Because they just lost the other batch of guys that had stadium connections.
So you really are.
That's a great point, Mitch.
They got to have somebody who's.
And I contended this for a while when the La Femina crew was here, that I think Bruce could see this thing through, the stadium deal through, and then I thought they would promote Schaefer and Kyle and let Bruce kind of have his moment and then walk off on his own. And you know, like, hey, man, I've led this team here. We got a new stadium in the works. And I still kind of think that's possible, too.
Yeah.
I mean, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
All right. Want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, particularly. Go buy a Toyota at Oarsman Fairfax Toyota.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
It is the last time this year, fellas. We're going to do our over-unders, and we're going to tell how the game unfolds. We're going to start over-unders with...
Under.
Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson, total yards.
Rushing and passing.
Rushing and passing.
And receiving.
And receiving, sure.
Hell.
Yeah, that's fine with me. It's been 200 has been the number. I think 200 is the right number. Last week, I believe he fell just short of it. The first week he started, he would have gotten just past it. 200 going once. Is everybody cool there?
Yes. Good at 200.
All right, I'm going to start, and I'm going to say over.
I'm going to follow up JP, and I'm going to say over.
Good.
But particularly, possibly a lot of garbage yards there.
I think that, too.
I'm going to be an M Tunder.
Okay. You're still riding that train, huh?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm under.
Are you?
When I used to like write notes, I would just write the initials and then under or over, so you'd be
J Cunder.
All right, I'll go J Cunder.
My man.
All right.
Hey, you don't get excited to agree with me.
You're right. In fact, I am the opposite of excited.
People usually change their picks.
You now have to go before me for the next two, Mitch.
All right, AP. I think he looked his best last week, and I know he's had bigger games where he's broken off bigger runs and stuff, but
most consistent and complete performance.
He was a beast last week.
He was fantastic.
When he was in Philly last time, he was pretty banged up.
And he still broke off the 90-yarder.
But then everything else was...
Right.
And they do a good job.
He had a 90-yard run, and he had 98 yards rushing. Yards,
yes.
They did a good job. They have done a good job over the last several years of defending this run scheme.
Yeah.
So...
Which is interesting, because you would think with the zone... With them playing the wide nine and being a zone run team, you'd be able to cut back up the middle and get some yards, but they have not been able to do that.
So, based on all that, I think there might be some interesting run concepts this weekend, trying some new stuff.
And Samaje Perine, they've been mentioning him a little bit.
Could I don't think that's an interesting new run concept.
I don't think it's interesting at all, but it could factor into Peterson.
It also seemed like Jay kind of like, we'll see if we can keep him active.
Right.
I mean, so once he, on Monday or whatever day it was, like, yeah, I'd like to get him up. And by the end of the week, it was like, well, you know, we'll see.
Right.
Can we take a small tangent here?
Sure.
Why the hell is he still on the team?
That's a great question.
They want to back up to AP.
I know. I've been saying for a while that you just can't trust the dude because he can't hold on the football. But he's inactive for, 14 weeks this season or something?
And I also think that, and I agree with that, I think part of that, too, is looking to the future. And he's still a cheap option if, let's say, they don't hang on to AP and they want a backup to Geis next year.
Right.
Then he's a cheap option for them.
You don't think you can get a cheap option that...
Yes, I do, but I'm just, I mean, he's still, he's a cheap option.
He's a cheap option.
I think that's why he's here, and you could still go replace him in the offseason if you wanted to with another cheap option or cheaper.
And I'm not getting into all the other, but he's been eating up a roster spot all season, and it's been eating me up that they've been allowing that spot to
eat Mitch up.
Recent fourth-round draft picks are not great.
You need to start like a segment.
What's eating Mitch up? I like it. But back to the task at hand here, gentlemen. Yes. 70 yards for AP? 75?
Under.
I think, does it need to be lower? 65?
No, stay at 75 because I'm going under then.
Let's drop a 68.5.
69. Come on, let's roll out here.
69 for old time's sake.
Vegas knows.
That's the formula. Knows.
Yeah. And I'm going under.
You're under.
I'm under.
Over.
P-hunder. Eagles know they have to make Josh Johnson beat them, and they're going to zone in on AP.
I think AP is, we talked to him this week, talked about how fresh he was feeling. Shoulder wasn't bothering him.
That was a great interview. I enjoyed that one, man.
I think he's going to have a big game. I think he's going to have a lot of yards.
Well, I think the hard part is, like I said, I think they do a good job up front with that, with either of the defensive front, and I think that's going to give him a hard time. And you know, so
they did that great job up front with a somewhat healthier Redskins O-line, too. Now there's even fewer options up front.
I think that's where the hard part will be. And he's been a great story this year.
Absolutely. He's been the best story out
story,
here.
Yeah.
Well, and so our final over-under is a wild card. We always ask the fans. This is our last week to ask on Twitter. Attendance over-under 35,000, rather.
Yes.
Push.
30,000 Fire Bruce Allen tweets during the game. Yowza.
Trying to track that.
Over-under 1.5 coaches fired Monday. Over-under half executives fired. People just reply with Fire Bruce Allen. I am not in charge, everybody.
I'm sensing a theme here with some of these.
How many drops by Redskins wide receivers? 3.5.
Is there not a single sarcastic one?
There's like over under Moses penalties, 3.5. Over under 300 yards passing for Nick Foles.
This is great.
Over under.
Sorry, was that 400 yards?
Over under Perine carries at 7. I would crush the under.
Yeah.
JP's wife letting him pod while delivering the new baby girl with an absolutely F no. That's not an over-under, but it's pretty funny.
10.5.
Yeah. So, Pete had a good idea, and we're going with it.
Yay.
Can Tressway finish off the perfect game?
Ooh.
Over-under 0.5
touchbacks.
Ooh, I'm going under.
I'm rooting for this.
For that.
Hell yeah,
it's a perfect game, man.
Yeah.
You should get an ovation when the game wraps up.
What are you going, Pete?
Under. This Gunners better be laying out like effing Dwayne Wise did for Mark Burley. Like, they need to, everybody needs to be aware of this.
And I tell you what, I know, we all know Tress. He's going to Ted Williams this thing.
He's not going to hold back on a punt.
He's
not going to kick it out of bounds.
Right. Like, he's not going to protect his average.
Yeah.
No.
He's going to be spinning him on the fire.
We're all going under.
That's a good one.
Rooting for you, Tress. All right. How the game unfolds? Mitch, start.
I think the Eagles are going to...
Brought to you by Rich Chandler's Lazy Boy.
Brought to you by the Lazy Boy. I think the Eagles are going to come out and hit big shot after big shot over top. I think it's going to get...
Why do you think that? Because
early.
DJ's not there?
I think Nick gives... I think... Yeah, secondary's, I think, hurting. I think Nick Foles does a better job of giving his receivers opportunities up top. I think it's going to be kind of a not-so-pretty first half, something like 21-6 or so.
Damn, and, Mitch is calling for the end.
Not the end. And I think it ends respectably at at a 28-13. 28-13, something like that.
Both teams kind of understand the outcome at that
31-16.
Point.
31-16.
Here's an interesting breaking news. Teddy Bridgewater starting for the Saints on Sunday.
Saints have nothing to play for.
I don't. I just thought that was interesting. Anyway.
Yeah.
God, you had me scared there for a second.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah, we're living on much thinner ice. Yeah. I'm sorry, boys.
John had his hand on the door ready to go.
Anyway, Cakes to make up.
I think the Redskins defense is going to struggle. Offense is going to struggle early. Get some end of the game stuff and go 31-16 for a final.
Kyle?
Okay, I kind of along the same lines as Mitch. I just don't see that these guys can beat them. They're not equipped to beat a good team like this. I see the Eagles being able to do what they, you know, I think the secondary will be an issue. I think some of the double moves, they've been hard on some of those double moves all year. I think if Foles can get them on that, there are going to be some plays down the field. And not just because DJ's not there, but just because that's what's hurt them this year. What I would like to see is on the first third down, I'd like to see him play zone. just because if Minuski has a sense of humor, I think he plays zone in the first third down. But then, I think the hard part is going to be, like, they did a really good job last week controlling the ball. I think it's going to be hard to do that on this defense. And outside of the last drive or two, with the last interception, they don't count. But the other one, they did a pretty good job of being mistake-free. I think that's going to be a little bit harder, I think, on Sunday. So I'm looking at a 28-14 type game with the Eagles winning. I just think it's going to be a hard game all around for these guys too. And the Eagles clearly, it's going to be like a home game for them.
Yeah,
right. I don't think this is going to be like the Giants game where it's totally
one side very much cares.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the Giants game earlier this season,
the
40-0. I think the Eagles are going to.
Because I think Sanchez was a big part of that. We were having this debate earlier. I think starting Mark Sanchez was the biggest strategic mistake this team made all year.
Well, then it goes back to signing him first.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would say, it's not going to be an all-timer like the Monday Night Massacre or the 40-0, but I think it will be another chapter in the Redskins' disappointing Week 17s and kind of look a lot like last year, where they've kind of been saying, we want to spoil their season. We want to take out the Eagles. It matters to us to do that. I think that's a lot of lip service and just something convenient to say.
I didn't hear a lot of genuine sentiment on that.
Yeah,
one this
it was
week
just
either.
Like, hey, we have to say this so we can just get these mics out of our face.
Yeah, push play.
Right. I think it's going to be a 27-12, kind of gross. Eagles jump out quick, and then there's just no fight or no resistance, and it just kind of plods on until the end.
I'm with you. I don't see the Skins winning, but I do see something in the long drives, a lot of AP, Josh Johnson just kind of grinding out these drives where I don't think it gets ugly early. I think the Eagles win, but I think it could be a slog. Okay. Which is kind of how the Redskins prefer things this season. And I think 27-17.
None of the four of us
have
them covering the Vegas line.
What is it?
What is the line?
Seven.
I'll have to look. I'm intrigued. 24-18, maybe?
I think last week was such a crushing loss for them.
Yeah.
Coupled with the fact that, they know this is the last game. And
The turmoil this week cutting DJ Swearinger.
This last 6 weeks has been exhausting, and we've talked to guys about that.
Exhausting.
And how many
of these guys, this week, they finally let their guard down? And these were in kind of no microphone, no camera conversations, like guys and you finally like, man, what happened? How many times you hear when Alex went down, we were lost?
A lot.
This isn't guys with a camera in their face saying something to advance a storyline they think might help. This is just dudes talking. And I heard it from both sides of the football.
Multiple guys.
Yeah.
Multiple guys would say that. And I think it's legitimate. And I think, stats are obviously a big part of play. People look at that with quarterbacks. And I think the things that you always have to keep in mind with them is what else do they offer? And like a guy like Alex Smith, Chris Thompson talked about this a few weeks ago, just the calming influence he had in the huddle, that with him in there, they knew that they would be okay.
I had a player tell me, no bullshit, he told me, and this is a guy that's been here 4 or 5 years, every game I thought Alex would figure out a way to win.
Yes.
And I've never felt that way here, that every game we could figure out a way to win.
Right.
And that's not a knock on anybody else. It's just how these dudes felt.
And it's the confidence they had in him. And I say, you did not hear that about Kirk. We can say that.
No.
No, you didn't hear about him. And it's like, I know the stats weren't there. And if that's what you're going to look at, that's fine. But there was so much more to quarterback than just what are your numbers.
Well, if you look at the way that we covered Alex all of us and on the pod and stuff like that, and I don't want to include Kime if he wasn't really like this, but we kept being frustrated about Alex not doing enough on offense and saying, you know, we got to get more, this, that, and the other thing. And in week 5 or 6 or so, kind of after the bye or whatever, we came back and you started hearing everybody talk about how much of a leader he was in the locker room and how big of a part of the offense that was, not the offense, how big a part of the team that was, that Alex was in that spot. And you kind of, like, for me at least, you know, early on, there was a lot of frustration with him. And then you started realizing that his impact went beyond, absolutely, you know, yep, under center.
He's a professional quarterback.
Right.
That's, yeah, what he was. And I think, like,
it was tone setter.
Right.
Tone,
and I know that there,
that's the point.
There was frustration
setter
here with him, too. Yeah. They wanted more, too. It wasn't just
they
other
wanted,
people.
They wanted more big hits.
Right. Yep. Now, yeah, the thing is, like, I would look at a guy like Dak Prescott in Dallas. Now, they, to me, there's some similarities there with their style of playing, all that. How much better Dak was when he had Amari Cooper winning quick off the line.
Hell yeah.
And I think the thing with Alex was, and even some people here would say, you got to keep in mind that when he first went to Kansas City, it was 18 touchdowns, like 10 interceptions, something like that. It was very, very modest numbers.
Right. Yep.
That's what he was doing here. Then you started to add more around him, then he maximized. Now, he was never going to be Aaron Rodgers. That's not who he was.
Right.
But but they put him in a better spot because of the talent around him, and that's where they needed to get to here. But it was the intangibles that other guys latched onto as well. I mean, there were things like his throwing motion,
yeah,
kind of drove, not about drove guys nuts, but it certainly took longer for the ball to, yeah, get there sometimes, yeah, because of that. There was some of that too, but it was the other stuff that mattered to a lot of guys. And like, you want to just, like, I saw this on, who is it? I can't remember what former Cowboy had, going back to Dak Prescott, about the confidence they have in that guy. And they can't explain it. They didn't, you know, some guys didn't have that in Tony Romo, but they have it with this guy.
It's
that
crazy.
He's going to get it done.
And that matters, man.
It does. It's like, because you want competitors out there, and that's what that guy was. And so I think that's going to be a big void going forward and into future years.
Yeah, right. All right.
And we also understood how important the lack of turnovers were.
Big
and
time.
Yeah.
We kind of
just put that together. You know, he's not throwing touchdowns, but he's also keeping the ball, and that helps.
Well, and you look at that combined with what Tress Way was doing, that was,
yeah,
a monstrous.
And the time of possession,
yeah,
too.
Time of possession.
All right. We got to wrap. Want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Hang up now if you don't like shtick. All right, we got a couple packages delivered to the office. I have no idea. So these are addressed to me and not to the podcast. I assume these are podcast related, so we're going to open them live right now.
Should I tell you about that white powder?
Yeah, I know. If it's anthrax, we're all screwed. So this package is from Francisco Africano in Denver. I believe Francisco is a Whitman guy that went to, oh boy, this looks interesting. All right, he sent us some,
oh, this is our guy with the soccer team.
Yeah. Yeah, this is we hung out with these dudes in Tampa.
So where are we hanging that up?
The Beefs.
Yeah,
the
Beefs. So, all right, they sent us some koozies, the Mountain Beefs, the Windy City Beefs, and, so this is the Beef soccer team. We hung out with my boy John Hughes, plays on this team. These guys are all Whitman guys. I don't know what the hell this one says. And we got a card here. They sent a bumper sticker about Dan Snyder that I'm not going to read, frankly. Unless you want to read that, John.
But what? Thank you for the koozies. These,
yeah,
are cool.
The koozies are dope.
I mean, listen, it's just a bumper sticker. It said, worst owner in sports for 20 years, boycott until he sells, firedansnyder.org.
Yowza.
Yeah.
That will not be going on my car.
That's what you think.
Yeah, we should put this on Pete's car.
We should definitely put this on Pete's car.
It is a bumper sticker. All right, now this is pretty interesting.
You know, it's fine, DJ's car.
This is, all right, this says Redskins Talk Podcast 2018 Greatest Hits. And I don't know what this is. It's like it's a nice note. RIP Rich Tandler, JP Mitch Pete, thanks for crushing the podcast game. You guys are a 10 out of 10. Merry Christmas from Denver. Cisco Beef at Not That Cisco. That is very cool, man.
Thank you, Cisco.
We
very
appreciate
cool, guys.
It. And I definitely
Beefs.
Want one of which. What do you want here, Mitch?
This one's in the cart.
All right, we got another one here. Merry Christmas, Cisco and the Beefs. All right, this is from...
As you're working on opening it, they had a real funny name, reason why they became the Beefs. They had some sort of inappropriate name, and it was a public soccer league, and they were looking at, like, YMCAs. They were posting the standings of the soccer league, and they looked at it and were a little embarrassed by what they had called their team, so they altered it and changed it to the Beefs.
This one's nothing. This is an actual, like, work thing. So...
Sorry.
This is just the first package is good.
JP's just getting his mail.
Yeah, that was just actual mail.
I'll open my mail next. Okay, I got a cable bill and then...
all right, Pete, get this stuff up on the Instagram.
Yes, we need more followers on the Instagram.
At Redskins Talk Pod.
We're about to cross the 2,000 follower threshold. Get there. Redskins Talk Pod.
Everybody, thank you for listening. We'll see you at the game this weekend, and we'll see you January 17th in Arlington. Kime is guaranteed to be there. I think that's what he said. Does that sound right?
He's in it.
I think Mitch is going to be picking me up. What time? 6 o'clock?
Pete will pick you up at 6 o'clock.
Okay. We'll send Pete out to Berryville. I think that's doable.
6 o'clock sound early enough. It starts at 7:30.
Get there before it's dark because you don't want to hit the cows on the road.
Yep. And don't
he's
going to
get
the
there. He's got to get there like 4:30. Then.
Goodbye, everybody.
1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.